We'd like to thank the Friedmans for sponsoring a beautiful tikkun this morning on the occasion of current simchas and their family, a chasana, a birth. We wish them only continued simchas from all their families in good health. We should only get together and join many, many more simchas together.
Amen.
Parasha Shoftim is a very unique parasha because the Torah lumps a bunch of things together and many of them seem to have no connection one to the other. And on top of that, some of the parashas of this week, some of the topics in the parasha don't seem to even be relevant in today's day and age. We'll go backwards. For example, the story of the Egla Rufa. Very strange story the Torah tells us. If you find a dead body and there's no evidence, there's no leads, and CSI doesn't know what happened, and really no one knows what to do. And so what do? So we take out the Zikanim. We take out all the big rabbis with long beards, and we line them up, and they all come down, and they first measure the body and see which towns are closer. Is it closer to, you know, this town or that town? And once they conclude it's closer to this town, so all the rabbis of that town have to come out, and they make this declaration, we are innocent. Yodeinu lo shofchu as adam hazeh. We didn't do anything, we're innocent. So Rashi quotes from the Gemara and Saita, you know, from all the people you're going to find perhaps guilty of a crime, the rabbis are usually the last place you look. You know, if you're looking at a community and you say, well, this town is to blame, so who are we going to hold accountable? Let's blame the rabbis. They probably were the murderers. Why are they the ones that have to clear their hands? So the Rashi quotes the Gemara and Saita, because what they're saying was, we did all we can do. We escorted this fellow out of town. We fed him. We gave him what to eat. We gave him what to drink. We did our part. So if I'm not mistaken, last year we spoke about this idea that we learn from here the importance of escorting someone out of the town. So the obvious question is, you don't have to escort him back home. You only escort him Dalaramas. So how does my little escorting him Dalaramas protect him for his next 12-hour trip? So I thought the pshat was, is that when you escort someone, you're expressing that I care about you. You're not alone. You're no longer forgotten. You're part of this town. Even though you're traveling, you're en route to another town, you might be going 10 hours away, you're part of our town. And this way, when a person comes and he continues his journey and he finds things that perhaps can throw him off, something dangerous, something worrisome, but it's like, I'm okay, I'm part of town X, because, you know, they care about me, they feel me, they worry about me. And that's where it's a psychological idea that protects him in his trip. But that was last year's Torah. But for this year, I think perhaps what the Torah is teaching us a very important lesson called responsibility. The Zakenma year, I have to be able to say with certainty, we are not held accountable for what happened here. We are 100% innocent, and we cannot be held accountable for anything that took place here. That's what we call today accountability and responsibility. That's a lost art of perhaps, I think for sure in the younger generation, and I always yell at my kids for this, right? Whenever there's a mess, the first thing I always hear, it wasn't me. Whenever there's a mess in the house, it wasn't me. Okay, is that really true? Or wasn't 100% you, or 75% you? This idea of responsibility, accountability is something that the younger generation, I think, needs to work a little bit more on. That we can honestly say, I'm not responsible at all. For us to get up and say, this is totally not my fault, it means you have to have a certain level of responsibility, of an achrayus to say, I am not responsible for what happened here. And that's the lesson, I think, of the whole Egla Rufa. It's the appreciation of realizing a sense of achrayus, that I am accountable for what happens, and I have to be able to say with a certainty that I'm not to be blamed. And that's really, I think, the theme of the parsha. For example, when the soldiers go to war, and the soldiers say that, you know, I can't go to war, I don't feel like I'm going to make it, so the terrorist says, go home. If you're nervous, if you're worried, so go home. Why? Because if you're not going to be able to handle the war, so what's going to happen? You're going to go to war, and you're going to bring down the morale for everyone, and you're going to be the reason why we lose the war. You're saying to yourself, I hold myself responsible. Because you can go to war and do a horrible job and blame everyone else. You'll blame the generals, you'll blame the ammunition, you'll blame everyone else under the sun. But if you're a man of responsibility, you'll say, no, it's my fault. Because I shouldn't have been there. I was so nervous, I was so worried, I was polluting the atmosphere, so better I don't go. It's a sense of responsibility. And that's really the idea of the melech. The king's job and role is to be responsible for the people and to lead by example. Responsibility is a midah that I think is very hard to be told. You have to see it. A person can only become responsible when he sees other people being responsible. And that's why they say, that's one of the pshatim in why a chassan is daim lamelech. The sheva brachas. Why is a chassan daim lamelech? Because when a person gets married, he has a sense of responsibility. A person is a king, he has a sense of responsibility. A sense of achrayus. You don't have to worry about someone else. It's not just your own life you worry about. A melech has to worry about all of Klal Yisrael. To be achroy, to be responsible for someone else, is a very difficult thing. And that's why it's a special, unique ability to be able to feel a sensitivity and a chrayas, a responsibility for other people. I had a bar mitzvah in my shul on Shabbos, so I spoke. I think the whole idea of a bar mitzvah is this. What does it mean to be bar mitzvah? What difference does it make? You're 12 and now you're 13. Yeah, you get a couple presents, and you're in the limelight for a day or two, but it's an achrayas. Now when there's none of the Jews, you can be part of a minyan. Yeah, you can lead the tzibur, you can lay from the Torah, you can be mitzvah another Jew. It's an achrayas. Our whole life is supposed to be based on a sense of responsibility. We feel an achrayas, responsibility to our community. We feel responsibilities to our family. We feel responsibility to our shuls, to our institutions. Perhaps that's why we read this during El. El is a time where we're all doing some form of hopefully some form of introspection of where our life is going. And very often we don't ask ourselves, am I living up to my responsibility as a spouse? Am I living up to my responsibility as a parent, as a grandparent, as a child, as a neighbor, as a member of the shul, as a member of the community? These are big responsibilities that we carry. And very often we can't say with certainty, yes, I am not to be blamed for why this is happening in my community or in my home or my family or my job. I can't say with certainty because maybe I am to blame a little bit for what is going on. So in order to take the achrayis of the egla roof and say with a certainty, no, I'm not to be blamed at all. I'm not responsible. I did my part. I show up to shul every day and I daven properly and I'm a good husband and I'm a good father and I'm a good grandfather. I can say that takes a large level of achrayis. This Shabbos was the Shabbos commemorating the yahrzeit of the Taisus Yom Tov. I'm sure many of the shuls, you've already heard this, but the Taisus Yom Tov, we all know, besides for his commentary on the Mishnah and for his commentary on the Rosh, the Taisus Yom Tov was known because during Chmelnitsky, during Tach V'Tat, where there were Jews were dying in very, very large numbers, so they were trying to figure out why was this happening in 1648, 1649. So they were shoyl bechaloyim, they asked in a dream. And the answer, the response that the Taisus Yom Tov got was, this is all happening because people are mevaze the shul, they're mevaze the Beis HaMedrash, they're talking. They weren't playing on their phones, but that's only what we're doing today in the shul. And therefore, we have the beautiful tefillah of the Taisus Yom Tov, who makes a beautiful tefillah that's recited in some shuls. For those who keep their mouth closed during shul and they guard Kedushas Beis HaKnesses, they'll be showered with unbelievable brachas and yeshuas. For those that are shomer and that guard the proper behavior. So Reb Chaim Shmulevitz writes in the Sefer that when you walk into a shul, and let's say it's a quiet shul, I get an email from a certain shul, they write at the bottom of every email, just remember, we're a quiet shul. That's what he writes in the bottom. We're a quiet shul. So let's say you go to a shul that attack is a quiet shul, and you start a conversation. Says Chaim Shulevitz, you're in a violation of Allah Yimas Levavechov. You're changing the whole tone of the shul. The shul was one way, and you're changing it. If you're changing the whole setting, the whole tone, the whole attitude, the whole feeling, that's a violation of Allah Yimas Levavechov. And I would all argue that comes from a lack of achrayis. You don't feel a sense of responsibility. If I want to ensure that my shul is successful, I want to ensure that my shul is going to be one of those shuls that goes to Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt. My kids were asking me about this. They said, "No, is our shul going to be one of the shuls that go to Yerushalayim after the Beis HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt?" And that's a loaded question. I don't know. I can't answer. I'm not sure. Who knows which shuls are going to get to pick to go? But Chazal tells us the shuls that are proper shuls are going to get to go to be uprooted and put in Yerushalayim. So we want to do our job to ensure that our shuls, our batei midrashas, our yeshivas, our mekayimus hakadoshim are going to be uprooted and are going to go and be part in Yerushalayim. So it's an achrayis. I think the whole, my opinion is the takeaway from Parashat Shoftim is a sense of responsibility. Feel achrayis to yourself, achrayis to your family, achrayis to your community, achrayis to your shuls, wherever you're involved in. It's a sense of responsibility and a duty that we feel that we are have to give it our almost 100% to make sure we're saying with a certainty that we are not responsible for any of the shortcomings, any of the mistakes, any of the chesroinus. We can say with certainty we're not to blame. I quoted Wednesday night a comment from Shamsha Shofel Hirsch. I quoted it slightly incorrectly, so I just want to correct it. Shamsha Shofel Hirsch makes a beautiful observation on the pasuk when the Torah tells us Hashem is going to give us a Navi. And the Torah writes that Hashem is going to give you a Navi. What's the lashon of the pasuk? It says, "Navi mikir b'cham me'achecha kamayni yakim l'chashem l'kech." Hashem will give you a navi from amongst you. Said Rav Shamsa Flourish, you know, when we think about a navi, we think he's going to be like this strange person, comes from a far land, comes on a rocket ship, pops into town and says, "Here, I'm a Navi." So Rav Shamsa Flourish is going to be one of the regular kids in the neighborhood. He went to our local schools, he grew up in the neighborhood, maybe he played Little League, right? He's going to be a regular kid. A navi mikir b'cham me'achecha kamayni. A regular kid. He's not going to come with antennas on his head. He's not going to be one of those kids who, you know, were buried under the sand for 2 years. A regular, normal kid. Probably got in trouble in school. Probably skipped a homework here and there. A regular kid can be a Navi also. I think it's an important lesson. People say, how do you produce Gedolim? I have a great way. Teach them to be normal people also. Everyone thinks that today to be a Gadol, you have to be this person who's totally disconnected from the regular world. He doesn't know anything. You lock him in a room for 10 years, he's going to become a Gadol. He's going to become a weirdo. If you lock him in a room for 10 years, I guarantee you he's going to become a weirdo. You want your kid to become a gadol, make him normal. Let him be normal. Let him play ball. Let him be, again, you don't have to necessarily, you know, let him be exposed to everything in the world today. That's a very difficult balance that parents have today with social media and the internet, what we let our kids do. But I think if you make your kid to be a hermit, he's not going to grow up to be a godly. He's going to grow up to be a weirdo. He's not going to understand the world. He's not going to interact with people. He's not going to know how to interact with people. He's going to be totally, totally disconnected from the world. He won't be able to be one of the leaders of our generation. You need to be it, like the Torah describes. He'll be mikir b'cha, meyachecha, regular kid. Goes to school, has a good time, gets in trouble, does like regular kids are supposed to do. And then you educate him, and you teach him, and you guide him, and you madrich him. I'll be darkei shel Torah. And very often I hear people say, you know, they have to do these weird things for their children. They think they're helping. I really think it's the opposite. When you do things like that, you're really hurting the child. You're making them not part of society. You're not making them, it's not healthy for the children. You're closing them off from society, from, again, the positive parts of society. The kid doesn't have to know every movie that comes out either, but he has to be, you know, somewhat ma'uriv in my breeze. He has to understand the way the world works. Then we get to the last idea, which is interesting, is that when the Torah describes the soldiers who go to war, so the Torah says you have to be a God-fearing Jew who has no sin. He's not nervous. He's not worried. And if you go to war, you'll be successful. So in the mid-1800s, there were Freie Jews in Europe. This is a chiddush to some people. You speak to people. Europe, everyone was God-fearing Jew and everyone learned 20 hours a day. That is the biggest shekel chazav in the world. That's not true. People in Europe were not from also. And there were a lot of not from Jews in Europe. There was probably less Torah in Europe than there was today, by far. Maybe the quality was better, I can't disagree with that, but the quantity was more yeshivas today than whatever was in any time in Europe, more people learning, but dafyomi and all these other things, they didn't have this in mid-1800s. So there was a large group of non-religious Jews, and they put on a play, a skit. And what was the skit? So they wanted to make fun of this week's parsha. So they put on a skit where they had a bunch of Jews get together and getting ready to go to war. And they had the whole pep talk of the Kohen Meshuach Muhammad. So who's ready to go to war and who's nervous? So everyone starts slowly, slowly backing out. At the end, there's only two people left going to war, the Chavetz Chaim and Reb Chaim Soloveitchik. That was their skit. That the only two people that can go to Jewish war were going to be Reb Chaim Soloveitchik and the Chavetz Chaim. So they told this to the Chavetz Chaim. So Chavetz Chaim wasn't impressed with the story. He says, but look what it says at the end of the pasuk. We're going to go to war. We're going to win. So that's the whole joke. I don't get it. So he wasn't overly impressed with this knock on slight of Judaism that, you know, our wars are so strange that we're fought by rabbis, but that's how we win. The Torah says, if you pick the right soldiers, you're going to win the battle. So it's an important idea how the Torah describes understanding going to Muhammad. Then we come across a famous idea with many people talk about. Torah says that when you go to Neir Mikra, I think I mentioned this Wednesday night in the Chumash, it's worth mentioning again, that the Torah says you have to live there, v'choy, you have to live there. So the Ritzvah quotes in Maseches Makis, the Ritzvah writes that a Rebbe, that a Talmud that goes to Neir Mikra, the Rebbe has to go with him. The Rebbe has to go with him, even though the Ritzvah writes, even though there's plenty of Shurim in Ir Miklat. Ir Miklat was an Ir Levi. The Levim, all they knew was Torah. It was like one big, you know, Torah center. Nonetheless, writes the Ritzvah, you have to go, if that's your Rebbe, you have to learn only from your Rebbe. So Rabbi Shavais discusses, and other people discuss this also, the idea over here of this relationship. I heard once Rabbi Simon points out, he says, why does anyone need to have a Rebbe today? Everyone just turns on why you Torah. And you'll sit at home and everyone will learn a whole Torah all day long. Why do you have to come to yeshiva? Why do you have to come to a shir? Why do you have to be part of something? Just go sit at home, open up a YU Torah app, yeah, learn a whole day long. So he explains, because that's the idea of a relationship. When you come to a shir, you attend something, you build a relationship with that person, and therefore this is the importance of having a relationship with a Rebbe, having a Messiah HaTorah. Yeah, you can hear a lot of shurim, gain a lot of information, but that relationship is only formed really when a person spends time interacting on a personal level with one's Rebbe, and that's the chashivas that everyone has to have a Rebbe, no matter how old you are, no matter how young you are, no matter what phase and stage you are in life. Everyone has to have some person that they feel that connection to, that Messiah HaTorah is passed down through, and that's why it's Gevalik that we have a chance to come together in person to learn together. That's how the Messiah HaTorah is given over, in person, interactive, not just listening, even though those who can't be here, it's great to listen online, and I've gained a lot of Torah from listening to many people online. I had Rabbi Simon came.
Wagner.
That's right. I had Rabbi Simon come to my shul for Thanksgiving, and he gave a drush, so I introduced him as my virtual Rebbe. So I have a real Rebbe in person, I have a virtual Rebbe. So Rabbi Simon is one of my virtual Rabbeim that I listen online to, but he himself noted it's not the same to have a Rebbe in person that you speak to, that you interact with, versus someone that you listen to online. That's the lesson the Torah is teaching us, the chashivas of how Torah should be meiser from generation to generation. Okay, so we're holding over here in the Gemara, by us. The Gemara says like this, Ikka demasli lo ahod abai v'rav. There's a machlekes between abai and rava, and they're going to say that the machlokes of Bayin Rav was discussed in the following case. It says in the Torah, "Hishamar benega hatzeras l'shmor ma'od v'lasos." There's a pasuk in the Torah that tells us you have to guard the nega tzeras, be careful
Ma'oid
v'lasos. So this is the Makar that we learned a while back, that there's a Isser Aseh and an Isser Lav to cut off a Neged Tzaras. A person is not allowed to cut off a Neged Tzaras. He has to leave it where it is and leave it for the Kohen. So the Gemara makes a drasha. La'asos i'atoi. So you're not allowed to do anything to it. You can't actively go out and cut off a Tzaras. Aval oisa ata b'siv shalgabi raglu u'moit shalgabi k'seif. What happens if a guy has a Tzaras on his foot? And he wants to put the shoe on his foot, and by putting the shoe on the foot, it might cause a tzaras to get cut off. So is that permissible? So the Gemara says, yeah, that's okay. You're only not allowed to bedafka go out and cut off a tzaras. But are you allowed to put the sieve agabi ragli? You're allowed to put the shoe on top of your foot. Udemoich agabi safe. And let's say you have a strap. You want to wear a knapsack. You put the knapsack on your shoulder to go to work, and the knapsack strap cuts right on the tzaras. So Dr. Gemara, it's a special gzeir sakasav that you're allowed to do that. Even though by doing so, you're directly going to be causing the tzaras to be cut off. Zogti Gemara, Chava Brisa, I have a drasha from a pasuk somehow, from the words, Lasso, there's a big deal over here in the Rishonim, about Girsas. I figured we'll just leave it for now. It's a Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos, and the Rashba gets involved in it. But somehow from this pasuk, I learn that that's okay. That you're allowed to do normal behavior, even though normal behavior will lead the tzaras to be cut off. Zogti Brisa, Vim Avra, Avra. No, if it gets cut off, it gets cut off. Now, you don't have to worry so much about it. You do normal behavior. You do what you normally do. You put on your shoes, you put on your knapsack, and let whatever happens, happens. Frag the Gemara. I don't need a pasuk for that. This is a typical case of Davishay Mishavin. But Davishay Mishavin is mutter. So frag the Gemara, I need a pasuk to tell me Davishay Mishavin is mutter. I know Davishay Mishavin is mutter. B'chalotari kula. Davishay Mishavin is mutter. So why do I need this gzeir sakasav? I'm Rabbi Yelanitzucha El Rabbi Huda. You're right. When do I need this pasuk? I need this pasuk for Rabbi Huda. The Amar Davishayin Mischavin Aser. You're forgetting. It's a Machlokes Tanayim. Rabbi Huda holds Davishayin Mischavin is Aser. So according to Rabbi Huda, I have no intention to cut off the tzaras. I'm putting on my shoe in the morning because I need a shoe, and it's going to happen. It's not Mischavin. So according to Rabbi Huda, it's still Aser. So I need the Gzeiras HaKasav to tell me off PK and I can do so. Says that was a biased answer. The Rava Amar Rava says no. I feel the Tamer Reb Shimon. Even if you want to make that this brisa can go both according to Yehuda and Reb Shimon, or Moed Reb Shimon, it's a creation. Even Reb Shimon that holds Davar Shein Mischavin Mutter. That's if it's a Davar Shein Mischavin. That's not a psikresha. But if it's a Davar Shein Mischavin and a psikresha, even Reb Shimon would have a problem with it. So that's why I need to pass it even for Reb Shimon. Kavaldik. That's the Ran's kash. Good. We'll see in a second how the Ran asked that kasha. Right? The Gemara makes it sound like it's guaranteed, but what was the lashon of the Braisa? Vim of it sounds like if it happens, it happens. That's not psik reisha talk. Psik reisha means it's gonna happen. So we'll see that the Ran addresses this, perhaps Rashi addresses this, we'll see what he answers. So let's see. So that's the end of the Gemara. Then the Gemara is the same kasha. Va'abaya lesla hai svara. Abaya didn't know psik reisha. Why did Abaya back himself into a corner and say it only works according to Reb Yehuda, not according to Reb Shimon? Didn't Abaya know that psik reisha is a problem? They both said moed Reb Shimon psik reisha v'leyomus. And for the Gemara, the boss of the Shammai Mirava, after he heard it from Rava, Savra. Then he changed tune. So I mean, Abaya never really bought into psik reisha. Only after Rava convinced him, then Rava was on the side of psik reisha. The Gemara could have answered that Abaya held it's not a psik reisha. The Gemara could have answered, that's part of the Ran's Kasha. Why didn't the Gemara just answer that Abaya thought this is not a psikresha? And therefore it's not a psikresha, that's not an answer. But that the Gemara thought is not the case. So let's see Rashi, number 2, Zak Rashi. B'siv sh'al ragli y'moit sh'al gabi k'seifoi. V'ein tzorech lihizor melitchoi siv sh'koishim in olei b'ragli melisa ma'asal k'seifoi. You don't have to be worried about moving it, pushing it, even though it's going to directly affect the tzaraz. Vim avra, listen to the Lashon of Rashi. Vim avra, ha'beheris bekach avra. Sounds like Rashi learned the words of the Gemara. Over doesn't mean if it will happen, it will happen. It means, and if it will happen, just don't worry about it. Sounds like perhaps he's coming to address the Ran's Kasha. What do you mean, over, if it happens, it happens? Then that's not a psikresha. Says Rashi, that's not what it means. It doesn't mean if it will happen, it will happen. It means, and if it happens, fine. Yeah, the words of the Gemara are still a little bit... The Ran's going to have the same kasha with the words of the Gemara. But we just have to correct into the words of the Gemara that over doesn't mean if it will happen as opposed to it might not happen. It means it's going to happen, but it's okay if it happens. So Rashi, you don't have to worry if it happens. That's what the Torah writes, lasos. From the word lasos, you're allowed to do normal behavior. My normal behavior might lead for the trash getting cut off. Yeah, it's not your problem. Yeah.
You know, this case is different from the Beharis. There is you're doing a mice.
Gevaldik. So you're machaving to the Rashba. We'll get to that in 2 seconds. Okay, Gevaldik. Okay.
That's something you have to do.
Good. So we're going to see in a second. The Rashi, we're going to have a kasha. For the Rashi, one second. If I have a pasuk that I'm allowed to put on my shoe in the morning, even though there's a tzaras, shouldn't I be able to learn it that I'm allowed to cut off a milah, even though it's going to cut off the tzaras? Is it a kol shekein? If the dvar is shus, I'm allowed to do normal behavior. Can I do normal behavior for mitzvah? So who needs besar?
Other than psikresh.
Well, again, we're holding now. They're both going to be either before psikresh or after psikresh. They're in the same boat. So we'll get to that Rashi in 2 seconds, I hope. Let's just finish up Rashi. So Rashi va'abaya. Okay. So fractal round number 3. Koshuli. The Ipsigresha who the Gemara ended up telling me is a Psigresha. So my lishna dim avra avra. So how do you read the Braisa? It says in the Braisa, put on your shoe and put on your knapsack. Vim avra. No, if it happens, it happens. What do you mean if it happens, it happens? Psigresha means it's gonna happen. That's what the word Psigresha means. So how could the Gemara tell me 3 lines later that this is a case of Psigresha? It's not a Psigresha. Emphadiran, the Efshadachi comment. Even if it will happen, you read it like Rashi read it. Vim avra, avra, it's okay. Not that if it happens, it's okay. It's going to happen, but don't worry because it's not a problem because this is not a violation of Katzitzas Baharis. So to me,
the M is the problem.
Yeah? Again, I don't think it makes it much, much better. He's saying it's not an if.
Means when.
Right. He's not saying it's not an if. It's not if it's, but when it happens, don't worry about it. Over, it's going to happen. Don't lose sleep about it. So I think perhaps that's what Rashi wanted with that Rashi that we read before. He perhaps was trying to answer the same kasha as the Ran, that the Avra doesn't mean if it happens. It means when it will happen. Don't worry about it. Avra will happen. You won't be in any form of a violation. So Frek the Rashba, number 4, the kasha that was brought up earlier, Veikul Meduk, ask the Rashba. Bein Labaya, Bein the Ravo. Whether you go like Abaya or Rava, it doesn't matter. Again, you have to remember, there's 2 Gemaras. There's 1 Gemara, Besar by Mila, that tells me I'm allowed to cut off a Tzaras while I'm doing a Mila. And there's another Pasuk that tells me last is that I'm allowed to put on my shoe in the morning, even though that will cut off the Tzaras. So, Frek the Rashba, but I don't get it. Once I have a Pasuk that tells me that Mila b'tzaras, Hashta legabe harishus shari, b'makai mitzvah like kol shekein. If I have a pasuk that tells me do normal activities, you don't worry about outside things, do what you were normal things. So a Mayel's normal job is cutting off an Arla. That's what he does. So if I know I'm allowed to put on my shoe in the morning, because that's called normal, and I don't have to worry about the effects of what will happen, so shouldn't that automatically tell me I'm allowed to cut off the Arla?
They're two different.
Why?
By Mila, the same act of cutting, you
good.
Would do the same exact thing. Right? In other words, to cut off the Tzaras, you would do the exact same things you do to cut off the milah.
Right,
so it's one act. Here, there's many ways to cut off the tzaras. You're just putting shoes on.
But if the
fact that it's the result.
No, but if the Torah permits me to do normal activities despite the outcome, so the moil's normal activities to cut off the arla, even though that would lead to the tzaras being cut off.
I understand the question.
I'm saying.
But it's not normal.
So that makes it even stronger. That's a kol shekein. If it's something that, and you're saying it's only because I do it every day, that's why it's mutter?
No, it's an one act.
That's the Rashba test. We're going to see that in a second. That's the Rashba. One's direct, one's indirect. Putting on a shoe is not saying it's slicing.
Right.
That's the Rashba. Yeah. That's what he's going to answer in a second. Says the Rashba. The nearly. Number 4 on the left, on the right side. But nearly the itzrich shum the hocha b'she'ene oisem mamish l'shum k'titza el malach dehu asa. And over here, you're not cutting anything. You're not a surgeon. You're not a doctor. You're putting on your shoes in the morning. U'memela make its kayitz. And it's a byproduct by putting on your shoe in the morning. The way the lace goes, the way the strap goes, it's going to break off that tzaras. Therefore, it's mut. That's all I had. Hava mina davka b'chi hodesh ha'rachman. I would say, yeah, that's the Torah permits. Why? Because that's just being normal. That's called doing normal activity. But not normal cutting activity. That's called normal regular activity. But when I intend to cut, and I know that I'm cutting, and I'm aware of the cutting, but I'm not doing it for the intention that's the Torah prohibits. That I don't know that that's mutter from this Gemara. If all I had was this Gemara, I would not jump to conclude that a Mayel is allowed to cut off a Tzaras. That's why I need the pasuk of basa to permit. So now, why don't you ask me the question the other way? Let the Torah just write it by mila, and I'll learn out by tzaras. The simple answer is what?
One's
a mitzvah, right? Exactly. That's what I would have answered.
Is there a difference in the
iser? That's right.
is there a difference in the iser on the person himself or on somebody else's?
We'll get to that in 3 minutes. The Mishnah Melach. This Mishnah Melach number 8. We're going to talk about that at length today. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think you separate the two cases. I mean, like the Rebbe Chana, right? Maisa and intent, right? Are you doing that, Rebbe Chana?
Yeah. Okay.
So in the case of the Milo Baharis, right? You're doing a Maisa of cutting off the Baharis.
Yeah.
Not your intent. Your intent is to do the Milo.
Right.
Right. The case of here, where you're putting on your shoes, right? Your intent is, your Maisa is not a Maisa of taking off the Baharis, but your intent.
I'm not sure if that's true. I don't think that's true. I'm not sure. I think what you're saying is really what the Rashba answered. I think what you're saying till the end was what the Rashba said. That I don't think your intent changes in either case. I think the Rashba's point.
In the case of the Mila, you have no intention of cutting off the.
Why do you think the guy intends to cut off his Rashba and puts on his shoe in the morning?
But he doesn't
want to
be a
Mitzvah. I don't know. I have no right from the Bryce that that's true.
It's not a Mitzvah of cutting off a Baharis.
No, I think you're right. That's what the Rashba's answer is. The Rashba's answer is that cutting off a Baharis is the Mitzvah. Is Sir Mashenki putting on your shoes, not us, sir. I think that's true. That's what the Rashba's answer is. Now, this is really what we talked about last week. You know, what's the Yisoida Is of Ketzisa Baharis? Is it the act of cutting it? Is it the intent of trying to become Tahar? Here, the Rashba's splitting it differently. He's saying the difference is, what are you doing? If you ask the guy putting on a shoe, are you cutting off Tsaras? What are you talking about? Putting on my shoe. He asked the Moel, what are you doing? I'm cutting off Tsaras. I'm cutting off.
No, I'm giving the meal.
I shouldn't say like that. I'm cutting off skin. I'm cutting. I'm doing a Maisa Ketzisa. It's a different Madrega.
Because if he has to do it, that's
a
routine thing.
Right, he knows what he's doing. He intends to cut.
Why
right.
Just get him well as a coin, and then you have two birds with one stone.
That would work, yeah. So we're going to talk more about who has the prohibition of the ktsitsa. Now, let's see the Ramban.
The shoe can never really be said to be either Davashen Miskaven or Psik Reshi. It's very hard to know.
But the Gemara calls it Ein Miskaven, right? That was Gemara's kasha. The first, I was waiting for someone to bring this up from last week. When the Gemara jumps on the bandwagon, it's Ein Mischaven. Should we go back to the whole shift from last week? Is it Ein Mischaven or is it Melach Hashem Tzvich L'Gufa?
No, then the Gemara.
I'm not going there. Don't worry. Same idea. Is it should be in the same category of not an Ein Mischaven? I would assume this case is talking a good case of Ein Mischaven. You have no intention of cutting. Again, I don't believe he has any intention of cutting his tzaras. If he wants to put on his shoes to go to work. So that's talking in Mishchav. It's not like Melach Shem. Good. So second. Now you're getting involved in something more complicated, which I want to get to in a second. Now the thing was, we have a problem over here because Rabbi the Gemara answered it's Psik Reisha. Now what happens when you answer something that's Psik Reisha? What does that mean?
So this is automatic.
So there's a very we're getting ahead of ourselves as we often do. That's a shaila. Kinnir, it's Machloikis Rishonim. It's Kinnir, a very famous but the Aruch. We'll get to that in a second. We're gonna try to figure this out in a second. Hopefully, what does it mean when you say something is a psikra? Everyone knows Dovashay Mischave Mutter, Psikresha. Then you have segregation. There's a follow-up, as always. Nichalei. So every once in a while, you have people come in halachish as they tell me, but it's a segregation. Shelo nichalei. I say okay. So like it should be mutter, right? I said, no, we don't pass them like the Aruch. Psikresha le'nichle is still awesome at the Rabbanon. So we'll talk about that a little bit more today. It's a very common, people have this thing in their head. Psikresha le'nichle means it's for sure going to happen, but I have no interest in the outcome. I could kill us. This is actually very negi halacha l'maisa.
When you walk home on Shabbos, there's the automatic light. Sometimes.
Right, so that was one. We had a shir about that here Tuesday night. We talked about this on Tuesday night. We had a whole shir about
it. Yeah, but that's nichle.
The lights. The lights might be nichle.
It depends.
The more common case that the place can talk about is in the summer. I think Rabbi Shechter gave a shir this. In the summer, many people like to have kedushim outside or sukkah time. You eat outside. But what happens if the liquids spill on your grass? So if you're eating in your backyard, so maybe you care for the grass to grow. If I'm in your backyard, I don't care about your grass. That's loy nichle. That's the case of the Gemara. Ba'ara d'chavre. So that's loy nichle. I don't care if your grass grows or not. Now, is that really what loy nichle means? It means I don't care or I don't gain. We'll have to talk about that in a second.
So are you gaining from that?
Oh, good. So we're going to get back to that in a second.
Can I ask you a preliminary question? Is it accepted that all these halakhs, Dawashan, Mishkami, Tzik, Reish, like, move out of the realm of Hilcha Shabbos
That's what the Rashba said. That's a machloket Rishonim if it's the Raisa or the Rabbanan, but yes. But the Rashba told us that for sure not limited. That's our Gemara, the greatest proof.
Right.
Because the Gemara is bringing Tzaras to Davashan
Mishkav. I want to know whether anybody else.
Right. So the Rashba pointed that out. Yeah. The Rashba said that it's a Raya from this Gemara that the rules of Davashan Mishkav are beyond Shabbos. They go to Chol HaTorah Kula. We mentioned the Stira in Taisvis, if it's the Raisa or the Rabbanan, that we spoke about in the past. So Zokta Ramban, so the Rashba then quotes a Ramban. Zokta Ramban, the number, continuing on in the Rashba, he writes, K'nirli, that's the Rashba's shot. V'Ramban, but the Ramban gives a different answer. The end of number 4, the last 3 lines. Zokta Ramban, V'Ramban tiritz, not like that. The Ramban does not like this pshat. The Ramban does not like this whole lomdu shechilik that the Rashba just made up between putting on a shoe and cutting off. He doesn't buy into the whole pshat. So,
what's the Rashba's name?
I think it's supposed to refer to his Rebbe. I think the Ramban was his Rebbe, maybe. I forgot already what it
is.
What?
Right.
Right. That was the whole. That was the whole family over there. I forgot already. Near my Rebbe, I think. I think he's referring to his Rebbe.
Near a Rabbi?
No, it's his Rebbe. The Ramban was his Rebbe. The Ramban had a lot of talmidim. The Tvor, a bunch of talmidim. There's a whole group of them. They learned together by the Ramban. So he writes, "To loy ba hakos of el lahatir afilu be mischava mokets be makam amilo." Says the Ramban, absolutely not. Do you know why I need the pasuk of Besar, where the guy says, "Hinini mochunu mezomin lekotzas atzaras"? I completely know what I'm doing. And I'll peek in the Torah says it's okay.
That's
Pirish. Like that's exerts a kasuv of Besar. Exerts a kasuv of.
This has nothing to do with Dovr Shemeskav.
Yeah, he's no, no. According to the Rashba, I need a pasuk of Besar, not because of Dovr Shem Meschav alumnus. I need a pasuk of Besar in a case where you're 100% Meschavin.
That's not what the Gemara says.
No, no, right.
The
Gemara deals with the Gemara trying to figure out why I need a pasuk if it's Dovr Shem Meschavin. So Dr. Ramban, you know why you need a pasuk? When you're Meschavin. Mashenki is Dr. Ramban, Pirusha Perushay, Meschavin Lokets Beheros of the Tar. So when it comes to the case of the shoe, I can only put on the shoe when it's normal. And normal activity is mutter. When it comes to Mila, I have the right, I have the permissibility to be Meschavin to do so. And if I peek in, it's okay. Now, if you jump for a second to number 6, there's an interesting Rambam in Echaz Tumas Tzeras. Dr. Rambam, it's mota from mitzvah to put a something on his shoulder. Sheesh b'hatzeras v'likshur hasiv al raglan. He's allowed to tie the shoe on his foot. V'imholchu samani tumal yelchu. And if the samani tumal go away, they go. V'hu shaloi nischaven lekach. But he can't have intent to do it. Where does it say that in the Gemara? Doesn't say that in our Gemara, right? It sounds like in the Gemara that what? It's mota. Do whatever you got to do. Don't worry about your intention. Where did the Rambam get from this idea that you're not allowed to be mechaven? It makes sense if you learn like the Ramban. The Ramban learned that by Mila Besar, you can have intent. But by Hishamer, by Neged Saras, it only works if you don't have intent. Mila is like the Ramban. It has to be. The only time we allow you to do the shoe is when Bedafko and you're not Mischavim. When you are Mischavim, it's Taka Asa. Masha Enkin. By Mila, like the Ramban, by Mila, even if you're intending, when you're cutting off the Tzaras, to be Mikayim, the Avera of Ketzitzas Tzaras, you put on your gartel and say, Hinni Mochim Zuma to do an Avera. It's still okay, because on the exerts a kasev of Besar. That's the way the Ramban learns Pshat in the Gemara.
Can it be because you're also doing a mitzvah at the same time?
Yeah, we're going to run into this. We're going to see in the Gemara that's
a distinction.
Yeah, the simple answer would be that's not a mitzvah. This is a mitzvah. Maybe that's Pshat in the Torah.
It kind of sanitizes it, even if you're doing
a Torah. Yeah, but then you have Avera problems, right? Maybe that's why the Torah was more lenient. Now, in the Sefer Ovin number 5, Mishmer Shalom, this is Mishmer Shabbos, written by a fellow named Rabbi Karp from Eretz Yisrael. He writes a lot of Gishmak Svarim. He writes Hilchos Shabbos B'Shabbos, Hilchos Yom Tov B'Yom Tov, a lot of nice Svarim he writes. So he comes up with an interesting observation over here. We know there's a famous Machloikish Rishonim. How do you understand Psik Resha? That's Aser. Right, the Gemara, what was the flow of our Gemara? Our Gemara said it's Einam Mischavin. The Gemara says, who cares? Einam Mischavin. It's Psik Resha. The Gemara says it's Psik Resha. So it's going to be Aser anyways, because we hold Psik Resha is Aser. So he writes this. He says, go back to our Ramban. What did our Ramban say? Our Ramban said that when it comes to the Tzaras, when it comes to the Beheres, When it comes to Mila, it's Mutar Bikavana. When it comes to our Gemara, it's Aser if it's Bikavana. It's only Mutar Shloi Bikavana, right? So he says, one second. Lefizat Tzorechim HaShikasim Ramban. The boy the Krabba, Oy Melokotz Behirasoy Mischavin. The Gemara is going to say later on a case, we're talking about a case where we need a Pasuk, where the guy has intention, Mechavin, to cut off the Tzeras. Why? Kiven the Chol Psik Reisho, Lamay the Kaimelon, the Chayiv HaVikim Mischavin. The Gemara is going to say later on, that's an example of Psik Reisho. You know that the meal is going to get cut off, so it's psik resha. One second, but according to the Ramban, I can be mechavin to cut it off, and that's also okay. So why is psik resha any different? If psik resha is a fancy way of saying it's kilo, you're mechavin. If every psik resha just means it's as if I intended to do it, but he says over here, v'imke l'maskona d'abaya avhoide l'rava, according to the end that even abaya agrees to rava, that psik resha is a problem, kosho. L'may boy l'kra d'bosar. Why do we? What was Ramban saying? I need a pasuk for Basa to tell me that even when you're mischavin to cut off the mila, it's still mutter. Even the psik resha shari. But if a psik resha is mutter and psik resha is a fancy way of saying kilo you're mechavin, so it's the same thing. Shari have a koyim beferish mischavin lekach. Again, the Ramban's whole idea is that what's included in the Torah is when I'm mischavin beferish to do it, it's still mutter. So the Gemara has a whole cheshbon over here. The Gemara says, "I is psik resha." But again, all psik resha means is a fancy way of saying it's kilo you're mechavin. But the Ramban holds when you're mechavin, it's okay. So if, when you're mefurish mechavin, it's okay. So why is it any different when you're ki'ilu mechavin, it's okay? the same thing.
Ah,
so he's up there. You have to say that the Ramban had a different understanding of how to learn Psik Resha. For Omnam Yesh Levar, Oy Bitarim the Psik Resha Chayiv. Why is Psik Resha Chayiv? Not Pshat Psik Resha Chayiv because it's Ki Ilu Yur Mechavin. Most of us, I think, why is Psik Resha Asa? Because if you know something is going to happen, we must assume you thought that out. You're screaming, I don't know, I don't know, I'm not thinking that. So, what are you talking about? When you schlep a bench across the ground, you know it's going to make a hole. But I didn't intend to make a hole. You did, you're lying. That's a simple understanding of secretion.
Well, I didn't intend to make a hole, or I didn't know the hole was going to be made. That's different.
No, I didn't intend. Edom Eschav means I didn't intend to it. But if you know what's going to happen, how can you say you didn't intend to it?
Seek ratio has nothing to do with intent. It's a fact.
So that's, so these Rishonim thought that because it's a fact, that now automatically triggers how you think. Your intent is now like you know it's going to happen. That's the case, right? I cut a guy's head off. I didn't think he was going to die. I didn't intend to kill him. Well, of course you did. Because well, you know cutting people's heads off equal them dying. No, that might be Melach HaShem Tzvichel Gufa then. That's different. That's Melach HaShem Tzvichel Gufa. I knew what I was doing, but I wanted a different outcome. Here you're saying, oh, I didn't know that. I didn't think that the people die when their heads get chopped off.
Yeah, that's Eid Mishkan. Like you said before, with if you pour water on the grass, so if it's your neighbor's grass, you know it's going to grow gonna, the grass, but because you don't care.
Right, so that's Loi Nichel. That's the second case.
So isn't that, but that, so again, so...
But all psychration means is that when you know that when water spills, it's going to cause growth. You can't tell me that it's not going to happen. I didn't think of water. What do you mean? Of course you knew. You knew when water spills on grass, it grows. It's going to, it's bound to happen. So therefore, these were shining thought that it's ki'ilu, you already had that in your mind. That's one pshat. He's saying that's...
Lo nichle is different.
Once you agree that's going to happen, then... That's right.
Once you intended for it to happen, the question is whether you're not getting it.
That's right. But you can't tell me I didn't intend. What do you mean? You knew it was going to happen. You can't lie. Right, but if you know that water, but if you know that, if you know that water spills on grass, right? So that's what we're going to see in a second, how that applies if you want it or you don't want it. But so back to the Ramban. So he says over here number five, Omnam Yesh Levar Oy B'Tam De Psikreish. There's a new Psharim Psikreish. Why? The Lav Demishum Demischavenu Lekach. Again, why is Psikreish awesome? We had the Gemara twice already. We had this Gemara last week. The Gemara said that it's a Psikreish, and everyone holds Psikreish is awesome. Why is Psikreish awesome? Again, Pashim Shan the Gemara. Okay, the Gemara says I'm an Ein Mischaven. The Gemara says, I'm putting on my shoe, and I'm intending to get dressed in the morning. It's called the Ein Mischaven. In fact, you know, but it's Psik Resha. So what? Let it be Psik Resha. Why is Psik Resha? So one shot you'll learn is Psik Resha makes it Ki'ilu Mechaven. I know that when I put on my shoe in the morning, and every shoe, the strap causes the tzaras to fall off. So when I put my shoe on in the morning, you can't tell me I didn't intend, I didn't realize that this is going to happen. That's one shot. He says, perhaps the Ramban had a different understanding. El dekivin di efshe shleitasa malacha afagav de Ein Mischaven lo, chayva hatayra. It's not because of intention. It's because the Torah knows and you know what's going to happen. You're chayv. Kimish mischaven lasis ha-maisa shegoyim ha-maisa iser. Bal-kochach aser ha-Torah. This is already perhaps more lam de-shab-shat. Right. He's saying you did an action that the Torah asked. Huh?
He stole this.
Yeah, that's not his chiddush. No, he's a contemporary sefer. He's not... he's suggesting that... this is an old chakira in the Rishonim. Why? Again, when you learn Shabbos, this comes up much more. Why is Psik Resha? Everyone knows Psik Resha is aser. Why? What changes? So first pshat is Psik Resha affects how you think. He's saying that's not the pshat. Psik Resha now makes it that the act that you're doing is defined as a Maisa Isser. Because since X will always equal Y, it will always happen this way. So this act is titled, it's labeled, it's defined as a Maisa Isser. The Torah looks at it as a Maisa Isser. I wasn't Mitzchaven, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, this has been. Isn't there a difference?
Oh, good. So yeah, let's go.
Is there also a difference between the result versus what I'm actually doing?
Oh, good. So he writes over here, Kiva shemischaven lasis ha-maisa shegoyrim la-maisa iser, ba-korchach osra ha-toyra, v'lo-hitiru b'chasaron kavona elo kishein boru she-yaso iser. He wants to say, what's the chasaron ein mischaven? But it's not guaranteed that this will result as an iser.
There's not psikresha.
Right, right. That's exactly. That's the point. Meaning, we're trying to figure out why is Psik Resha awesome. So first, Psik Resha is awesome is because it's automatically, every Psik Resha is a fancy way of saying I was a Mechaven. He's saying that's not the Psha. He's saying the Torah asur activities that are guaranteed asurim, things that are not guaranteed Maisa Isser, are not awesome. So Psik Resha is a fancy way of saying this is guaranteed to equal an Isser. Mashenkin, and other Einam Mischaven, is not guaranteed to be an Isser. It might be, it might not be. Again, this is a little bit beyond our scope for Shabbos, for the part of Shabbos that we're learning, but in the lomdus of Malacha Shabbos, this is a very important Shaila. So he wants to tell you that's Pshat in the Ramban.
Well,
the
thesis. You can't. The thing actually will always die.
Right.
The Gavra is
I think the difference between these two mahalchim is it's according to the first pshat, we're always coming back to kavana. Kavana, 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 kavana. According to the second pshat, it's not about kavana. Yeah. It's about pulas. Isurim, maisa isurim.
Right.
One is kavana, one is the action.
Kavana is the
God. Yeah, okay. You can say it that way. Yeah, you can say it that way also.
Well,
what?
The second way makes it the
Malachas. The second way, he's not getting involved. He's learning Malachas Machshavas differently. He's learning Malachas Machshavas is not so much up here. Malachas Machshavas is the action itself.
Yeah.
It's a whole different mahalch. The first way is much more the conventional way that we're used to thinking. But Lech Mechshevis means what I'm thinking. He's saying, no. Lech Mechshevis means the action itself. So he says, Lefiza Asi Shaper. The Ramban Tzvila, now the Ramban is very Gishmak. The Kivan Shebezeh Chayiv, the fact that you're Chayiv Amino, the Kan Gilsa Teira, the Inme Chayiv Esal Ashi's Chavim, the Kach Beferish. Psik Reisha and Kavana are not the same thing. Psik Reisha means it's going to happen, so therefore this is a Maiser Isser, and Kavana means I have intent. They're not the same things. Va'ap Begav the DF Shashul Yasso Isser, and even if you have a case where it can't come out any other way, Hitiro, Kivan the Seif Kosov, Ein Mischavim. It's still going to be motor because I made a mischavin. So if you learn the two things that's synonymous, psikresha is kavanah, so then the Ramban has a kasha. The Ramban learned that even when you're mechavin, it's motor, yet when it's psikresha, it's aser. The answer is no, because according to the Ramban, psikresha is alumnus of the pe'ula, and ain't a mischavin, it's a din in your kavan. That's how he wants to explain this Ramban. Okay, but what we really need to get to today is the Gemara Vayter. This is really from yesterday. We didn't get to it last week. I apologize, I had to run out. Now we're going to get into what we need to see today. Let's go back to the Gemara for a second. If you notice, we've been learning a lot of Gemara the last couple of weeks. It's pretty good.
We'll just call it Daf Yomi.
I'm saying we're almost at Daf Yomi, we're getting there.
So that's why the bris is, you're allowed to do the bris.
That's right. That's right. Right? So we're holding here in the third line of the Gemara. Frank the Gemara, an interesting kasha. Va'abaya aliba de Reb Shimon. Let's go back for a second. Abaya holds, according to Reb Shimon, Dovash Einim is Chavin is Mutter. We don't yet know there's something called psikresha. At that point, let's put that in our mind. We hold Dovah Shem Eschav as Mutter, that's Shimon Shita, and we don't yet know there's such a thing called Psikresha. In fact, a very simple question. Hai Bisar, my Ovidle. Why do you need the word Bisar to permit cutting off a Mila with Saras? It's Dovah Shem Eschavin. We don't know yet there's something called Psikresha, so who needs a Pasuk? Very simple cash. Omar, Rav Amram, Ba'oimer, Lokotz, Beherasoi, Hu Mischavin. And for the Gemara, we're talking about a case where he said to cut off his saras. Who said what to who? So there's two ways you could have learned the Gemara. One way is that the person, the nimol, told the moyel, listen buddy, I want you to do me a favor. Don't just cut off my erla. I want you to have intent to cut off my saras also. So it's no longer an enim eschavin. But again, who's doing the cutting and who's doing the intention?
Isn't the cutting the old baby who's doing the cutting?
No, the Gemara is saying it's a gadol. Holding the Gemara is saying it's a gadol. The Gemara is going to say in a second, what do you do in the other case? So the Gemara says, "Ba'amar lokutz beherasoi hu mischavin." He tells him to cut off the beheris with intention. So Rashi, who tells what to who?
Is that part of the process that there has to be an intention to cut the tzaras?
If not, it would be ainam mischavin.
No. Just if you know the coin is cutting off the tzaras. Is there some kind of
hinani
mukhun that he has to
have? Right, because if not, he wouldn't be in a violation. Because if you hold like Reb Shimon that dovish ainam mischavin is mutter, so this would be like a dovish ainam mischavin. The only way you make it mischavin is if someone intends to do it. So the mayor shows up, he doesn't know anything, he cuts off the mila, he'd be an ainam mischavin. But now that the gadol, the adult who's getting the bris told the mayor, hey buddy, do me a favor, you'll see this, and you know, the tzaras there, I want you to have intention to cut off the tzaras and make me tahar. Now, it's a funny thing. Why would you do that?
Right.
It's so foolish. You hurt yourself. Let the guy do it naturally and you'll be good to go.
Right. But we raised it, doesn't make a difference.
No, the Gemara thought it's a dovish ainam mischavin, right? The normal case, the mayor shows up, he does his job. Uh-huh. Now that you told the mayor this, so let's see Rashi. In fact, Rashi, on the left side, number two, Zak Rashi. V'abaya libid Reb Shimon. Me'ikara. Initially. Mikame disvara. Before we know about psikresha. Hai bisar my overlay. Why do you need the word bisar? So the Gemara. Ba'omer lokots. Godol. Shehu bar einshim. The case of it is that the baby is not a baby. He's an adult who's already old enough to get punishments. V'oma lemoyol. And he tells the moyol. Lokots behirosoi bikavon litar. He tells the moyel, I want you not just to cut off my mila, I want you to have intention when you're cutting off my mila to cut off my tzaras and make me tahar.
Is that ma'akev on the tahara that whoever's cutting has intention to remove tzaras?
Or you
could just cut off the tzaras without thinking
no,
about
the violation part. To be over the isser of cutting off a tzaras, there has to be intent. If you hold like Reb Shimon.
Isn't this a mitzvah above Avera?
No.
Why?
The Avera doesn't stop the mitzvah. They're not in conflict to each other.
What do you mean? Usually when mitzvah above avera, in other words, the only way you're going to be doing this mitzvah meal is by cutting off the tzaras.
Right. Here you have a cause of a besa. The Torah says it's mutter. But the problem, the Gemara is trying to figure out why I don't need a pasuk. We're going to get there in a second.
I'm not asking the question in the context of doing it as a mila. I'm just saying as a regular tzaras, and the kohen is going to cut the tzaraas. So right. Everything's done right.
One second.
In the tahara or in incorrectly cutting?
One second. When does a kohen cut a tzaraas?
Okay. No. One second. Let's go back a second. Who? Over here in this case, you're not supposed to cut the tzaraas. That's the violation. Again, when a regular guy comes up to a tzaraas and cuts it off, so he's in a violation of an issur in the Torah.
Right.
That depends why he cut it off. There's no issa. We mentioned this from the Rajba 2 weeks ago. There's no issa just to cut off tzaraas. If you're a dermatologist and you get called to cut off a tzaraas and you do your job and you have no idea that it's a tzaraas, you don't know what a tzaraas is, you're not in any violation. However, if your intending is to cut it off to make this person to be mitar him, then you're in a violation.
Okay.
So now the Gemara asks to follow.
You're in the violation. The cutter.
We'll talk about that in a second.
Oh, so
presumably the cutter.
Kavana required in this cutting.
Yes, that's because it's not an enem mischavin.
Right.
So that's Gemara's kasha. The Gemara's kasha is, why do I need a pasuk to tell me that I call up a moil and I tell the moil, come and cut off the baby's arla, that it's mutter to do? Of course it's mutter to do. The moil is not intending to make the baby tahar. The moil is not a tzaraas cutter. He's
so
a moil.
So the question is, you can have intent to cut the tzaraas, but not necessarily to make him tahar. So if a moel who is ignorant about the halachas of tzaraas, right, he just sees a spot,
he cuts
in
everything.
The area where the orla is. Okay, maybe it's tzaraas, maybe it's not.
That would not be a violation. Rashi said it very clearly. Right, okay. That was the diak from Rashi. Rashi said you have to have mischavin litahara. It has to be to make him tahar also. That's a good point. We should make this observation.
As opposed to being mischavin to remove the
just to cut away skin or cut away growth.
That's a unique lot.
It's very interesting. Because the Rajba pointed it out that the Torah never says don't cut things. The Torah says careful to do whatever the Kohanim say to do. And that was the Rajba we mentioned 2 weeks ago, or maybe last week already. That's a specific Zerus Akasav over here. That's not just the Issa Ketitza. It's to cut with intent to try to make him tar. So what's the Gemara's answer? So let's get back to Gemara for a second. The Gemara's answer is that you tell the Moyel, I want you to have intention to cut off. Now who's in violation over here? Right, you tell the kohen, you tell the moel, when you cut off my tzaraas, when you cut my milah, cut off my tzaraas with intention to make me tar. So I need the gzeres hakasav of besad, and even that's okay. Now, who would have been in violation without the pasuk? The moel, the baby, he's not a baby, he's an adult. Who would have been in violation over here?
Both.
One, two. This is a shayla. We'll see in a second. The Mishnah Melech has a long discussion about it. So let's just finish up the Gemara. Frank, the Gemara, tenech gadol. That's very nice, in case we have a gadol. Katan Ma'ikal Me'ema, what do you do with an 8-day-old baby? The Torah wrote the word Besar both by an 8-day-old baby and by an adult who gets a bris milah. So let's say you have an 8-day-old baby. So what's he going to tell the mother? He's not going to tell the mother anything.
It goes back to the father, yeah.
Zakti Gemara, Katan Ma'ikal Me'ema, Amr Mishar Shere, Bo'im Ravi Aben. But the father says, Lokot Beheres, Debenoi, who comes Chavin. He tells the mother, I want you to bedavka cut off my child's Beheres, and therefore you have the same problem. Let's see Rashi. Katan de lo yada lechavane, a katan that has no idea how to have kavana, ma'ik lemema, v'akach b'tshivayik siv basar, k'tamin alel, it says by both of them. U'basar dechsev gabi katan b'yam hashmini lomali, so I don't need the word basar, besar, by a katan who's only 8 days old. No one has any intention, the male shows up just to cut off the milah. Everything gemara, ba'omar avi ha-ben lokutz, demischaven l'tahara, he wants to make his baby tahar. V'hu muzar, doi la'aved b'yadayim u'mischaven. And dad is warned not to do that biyadayim with intent. Those words need a lot of explanation, but in the end we'll come back to it. And then let's just finish the Gemara so we can say we learned the whole Shtukul Gemara. Friday Gemara, I don't get it. Friday Gemara, la'ave v'ika acher, la'ave acher. Why don't you have someone else do the milah? Let someone else do the milah. Let someone else who's not going to think about making the baby tahar. Someone else do the milah. Let a guy who's a frumma guy, he knows that he's not allowed to cut off tzaraas. He knows that it's a violation, so he'll come to the milah. The father tells him X and Y. He tells the father to jump in the lake, and he cuts off the milah without a problem.
I have a question. So, the status of the person who's the tzaraas, right? Is he any less tahar if the person who removed the tzaraas from him had kavana to make him tahor, or didn't have kavana to make him tahor?
No, the question just is who's in violation.
So what is?
I'm trying to think who's in violation. Why do I need a pasuk to permit it?
But by telling somebody to have kavana, right? As opposed to make sure you get the tzaraas off because I don't like the way it looks, right? What's the difference?
That's not the second way you said it is not a violation. If I just tell the male cut off everything because I want a smooth cut, that's not kavana. If I tell the mother I want you to make my baby tar, so now I'm setting him up for the issa.
Okay, and then the other question is the Gemara's case where the tzaraas is in the area that would have to come off as part of the orla anyway?
Yeah, yeah.
Or is he cutting off a little bit
more? No, he's doing exactly what he's supposed to do. Not like we saw from a Ramban 2 weeks ago where perhaps there's a way of dancing around it. No, he's doing his regular job. The question is what's going through his mind? What's running through his brain when he's cutting off this piece of skin? So the Gemara is a kasha. Let someone else do it. But Omer Avia ben Lokot, so the Gemara says, let someone else do the Mila. V'ika acher la'avid acher. Let someone else do the Mila. Now, what's this kash? It's like Rashi. V'ika acher. She'ina choshesh le'tahara. Who doesn't care so much for the baby's tahara status? La'avid acher. V'loy leki av. And let the father not get into trouble. Let someone else do the Mila.
Could you explain this whole Gemara? I don't understand.
Again.
Does that mean? Have someone else do it? What? A non-from guy?
No. A guy who's from and knows he's not allowed to cut off tzaras.
And he'll do it anyway.
And no, he won't have intention to make him tahar. The whole problem is intent.
The father told him,
the father's not a from guy. I don't know. He doesn't learn the laws of the Mila. I don't know. So, Frank Gemara, if you have a way of circumventing an Isser, so why?
Say the same thing about the grown-up who says this. He didn't know. Maybe he's a dare and he wants
the
Mila.
No, but the point is, if there's another way to do the Mila, the problem over here is, it's not the Maisa Chaticha that's the problem. It's the intention.
So let him just have the intention to do that.
Yeah, but the problem is...
He says, I didn't have it. You have a negative.
Okay, I think that's the same idea. The same idea is, why can't we come up with a situation where we can have someone who cuts it off that won't have wrong intentions? Let someone cut it off who knows the halacha. No halacha. So the Gemara gives an interesting kasha. 1 second. Why? Why should I have someone else do it? I have exerced a custom that I'm allowed to do it. Why do I have to start running around to find other mailim? So the Gemara, whoa, what are you talking about? We have a rule from Reish Lakish. Whenever you have an asay and a loisa say in conflict, we have a rule. If I can do both, mutaf, I have to do both. So what's the Gemara's cash over here? That over here I should have to apply the rules of Efshel L'Kayim Shneim. Why? Efshel L'Kayim Shneim is only when it's asay d'cha loisa say. This is not asay d'cha loisa say. This is exerced a kasa from the word bisar.
And also, didn't we say it's in Essay Dechalosa say Vase?
No, but that's what the Tzemach is teaching us.
Depends if you learn like, only if you learn like the Rambam. If you learn like the Rambam that we saw 3 weeks ago, this Gemara is beautiful. But if you learn like Roiv of the Rishonim, not like the Rambam, that there's no, it's Asay Dechalosa say Vase, which means it's not Nidche. It's only Nidche because of the extra word Besar. Extra word of Besar, I don't have to make the two worlds work together if it's a regular Xeris HaKosov. Yeah. I only have to make
No, not for the Rambam.
Why? Whenever you have a Rebbe Hakra, that's only the way the Rambam learned the Gemara.
Here it's saying, even though the Rambam says it gets rid of the Asay.
No, the Rambam learned that the Havamid would have been it's Asay Dechalos, it's regular Asay Dechalos. That's the Rambam. But we don't learn the Gemara like that. We learned
Masay. It's not regular Asay, but even so, we'll apply
that. That's perhaps another way to learn. Yeah. The way we learned the Gemara is that Mila B'Tzaras is Asay versus Lois Asay Vasay. And the only reason why it's doiche is because of Xeris HaKasav. So if it's Xeris HaKasav, who needs Reish Lakish? Reish Lakish's rule is not when you have a special Xeris HaKasav. Reish Lakish's rule is only when you have a Seder Chalais HaSei. This is not a Seder Chalais HaSei. This is a special din. Okay, we're getting very much ahead of ourselves. Let's go back a couple of steps and try to understand all that's going on over here. Let's start like this. We've been talking for the last, I don't know how many weeks, about cutting off Tzaras. We never yet once addressed the following question. Whose Isser is it? Who has a violation to cut off a Tzaras? The one that has the Tzaras? Or everyone. We keep on talking about Mila B'Tzaras and Mila B'Tzaras, Asay Dechale. Who has the love? What? He's Shoma B'Neged Tzaras. It sounds like it's anyone. But go back to our Gemara. What was our Gemara talking about over and over? Asay of Mila is Dechale, the Lois Asay of Tzaras. Who has the Lois Asay and who has the Asay? So if you look in the Rambam over here, number 7.
Wouldn't you think that it always goes on Dafka Dinimo? Because the other guy doesn't have the Lois Asay.
So
the Moyal only has the Asay.
That's the question. Is the Lois Asay only on the person that has the Tzaras, or the Lois Asay is on anyone?
I don't know.
That's what we're going to talk about. Mishnah Nav talks about. Where else do we find such a question? I'm saying by hair cutting. Let's say, for example, the Isser of cutting off your pace. Whose Isser is it? Is it the Nikuf? Is it the Makif? That the Gemara talks about, right? That we have already in Gemara. So let's see the Mishnah Lamalach over here, number 8. Talk to the Mishnah Lamalach, because the Rambam says number 7. Talk to the Rambam. This is the best you can get for the Mishnah Lamalach. I apologize. Talk to the Rambam. Talk to the Rambam. Hatoilish Shemani Tumah. Person pulls out simani tuma bein kulam bein mitzasim. Part of them or all of them. I hikves ha michya kula mitzasim. Okay. I hakoytze ta nega kula. He cuts off a nega mi bisaroi from his body. So if one was medayik in the Rambam, one would say that the iser ketzitzas haras is only fits what mi bisaroi from my body, not from your body. I can go to your body and cut off all the haras I want. Says the Mishnah Melech, that's not a good deal. I'm in a bag, I'm in a bag. So you can answer was because I already told you b'saroi. So maybe zok the Mishnah Melech number 8 nira the high mi b'saroi lav dafka. Says the Mishnah Melech, do not make such a diak in the Rambam that the word bibisaroi means it's only if it's your body. To who adin the koitzitz nega mizulasoi gamkin oiver belav. You cut off someone else's tzaras, you also oiver alav. How do you know, Zakti Mishnah Melech? It's argue Mar in Shabbos. Tabi parakir test, the Shabbos afkofam the beza mina, the itzvach besar, you need a pasuk, kabi cut in the mila. Because doicha es atzeras, the Rava mapik lemi kavachoymer the Shabbos, and Rava learns it from kavachoymer that I say doicha loisa say. Rabbeinu Kass of time who mishum da'asa say doicha loisa say. We mentioned in the past the Rambam shita. Why is milo doicha tzeras? Not because of the word besar, but because of I say doicha loisa say. Frate Mishlamel, what are you talking about? The amid the lek alav ela bekaitzis beherasoi. If the lav is only when you're cutting off your tzeras, shita the milas cut and doicha tzeras. Sharei hamol mekayim mitzvah say vein oiv belav. I don't understand the whole Gemara. The Gemara is back and forth for the last blot and a half. You don't need a limud. The moil is not in any violation. It's not his body. If the iser, the cut of a tzaraz, is only on your body, so I mean, I say the chalois, I say, what lav? There's no lav over here. The moil is cutting off the meal on someone else's body. Elamai says the Mishnah Lamelech. You see from the Gemara that that's not true. Cutting off anyone's tzaraz is a violation. Elavadei shahalavu b'kaitzis simani tumma bein bibsaroi bein mizulasai. Your body, someone else's body. Vafilu mikatan. Even cutting off a baby. One would have argued babies' bodies are not subjected to din of it. Have a pick and it's us. However, says the Mishnah Lamelech, miyo nirli, not so posh. The chol shekoytzeitz midas bal hatzaras haniktas oiver. What happens if the guy with tzaras tells you, do me a favor, cut off my tzaras, make me tar? Who's oiver now? So then when you have a 8-year-old baby, the baby knows nothing. So then you're doing it with intent, so you're in a violation. But what happens if there's no intent at all? What happens if the niktzatz, the guy who gets cut off, also wants to be involved in the equation? He says, do me a favor, cut off my tzaras and make me tar.
Then we come into the issue.
Not
a
12-year-old cut that? No. I'm talking about now an adult. A god will say, a 15-year-old has tzaras, he tells the guy, do me a favor, he goes to the dermatologist, says, cut off my tzaras, make me tar. So who's in violation now?
Cut off my tzaras or my mila?
No, cut off my tzaras. Cut off my regular tzaras. Cut off my tzaras and set me free from tumah. So who's in violation? So is that going to be the koitzeitz, the cutter, or the niktzas, the recipient, or both? Sark to Mishnah Lamelech. In that case, then the choshe koitzeitz midas bal hatzaras haniktzas oiver. The recipient, the one who gets cut, is oiver. V'dafke gabi katan oiver hakoitzeitz. We learned in the Gemara that you need to say that whatever you have a whole tumal, who's oiver when the baby is a baby? Why? Because over there, only the koitzeitz is in violation. The baby is not a baby, he's a gadol. And he tells the moyo, what was the case of our Gemara? Where the baby, the adult getting gemalt, told the moyo specifically, I want you to have intention. So who's in violation then? The baby, the nimol is in violation. Why? Because since I injected my kavana into it, so I'm going to be in a violation. So if there's only intent of the cutter is in violation. If there's intent from the recipient, then the recipient will be in the violation. Yes, we'll see in a second. So that's why by a cutter it will only be if the kaitzit has intention. Well, how is it when you have both? Zakti Mishlamach, we'll get to that in 1 second. So he brings a Gevaldik Araya. V'yamit she'ina hazara el ala koitzeitz v'le ala niktzatz. If the whole violation is only on the cutter and not on the recipient, ma'lonum kavonas hanimo. What does it matter what the intention of the baby was? Whatever, this baby is an adult. Kimin she'kavonas hamoyol shu ha'muzer ena letaro. What was the Gemara's answer? That he has intent to cut it off. Who cares what your intention is? Okay, what was the Gemara's answer?
He
was the baby. The baby. The baby said, I want you to make me tar. But the male said, jump in the lake. I'm not doing it. What happens now?
I have a question.
The baby is not a baby because he's an adult, the Gemara says.
By an adult, presumably we're talking about a ger, right? Because he hasn't been...
Or he was a Baal Tshuva.
Yeah,
whatever the case may be.
But if he was a ger, just out of curiosity, right?
It's a ras of a ger. Yeah, I don't know.
When did he have the chi of not... Right?
Beyond my pay scale. I don't know. That's way too much.
Saras, did he come off first or after?
Yeah, no, good. These are all good questions. Yeah, that's all totally in how we'd understand the lumbus of...
Since I don't understand anything that you said today, I might as well put some more on.
Yeah, I'm with you. That's a good question.
Cohen has to say first of all,
that's the normal way of doing it. The Isser way of doing it is cutting off the Tzaras.
The
neg is gone, you're not tummy. But But that's the wrong way to do it. That's a violation of the Torah. But it results the same.
It's the same
result. So again, we have a lot going on so far. If anyone's not yet confused, not yet. So again, Nachum, the Mishnah Melech is developing the following idea. Who's Oiver for cutting off a Tzaras? So first rule is the cutter. If the cutter has intent to remove a Tzaras for Tahara, he's in violation. That's a Mefurish Gemara. Now, what happens when the recipient also has intention? So Zakta Magi Mishnah, then the recipient's in violation. Where do you see that from our Gemara?
Also, or instead of?
Might depend on what was going through the Moyle's mind.
This is without the limit.
Without the limit of Bessar, if the 13-year-old tells the Moyle, I want to be Tar, my intention is to become Tar. Now, when the Gemara answered those words, Ba'omer Lokutz Behirasoi Humischavin, what does that mean? It means he tells the Moyle that I want to become Tar. Now, what did the Moyle say? So the Mayakos said, that's beautiful, wonderful, I'm doing what I want, because your version is wrong. Does that matter? The kid is screaming, the 13-year-old kid is screaming, I want to become tar with this cutting. The Mayakos says, he doesn't know anything. He doesn't know anything about the halacha. I'm not thinking that. Who would be in violation then?
Kid.
The kid will be in violation, even though the Mayakos, the cutter, had no intention. Because as long as one party, the niktsas, had intention.
How do you separate it from the maaser?
Okay, that's what we're going to have to get to. And there's a bigger problem of shlichus over here. The niktsas sits here with his hands like this. He's on an operating table. He didn't do anything. You're going to tell me he's in a violation? What did he do? He didn't cut off any tzaras. So you're going to tell me shlichus? Ein shlichus va'aver, kashna mo'am from the panavit shirav.
Once you're a shlichus for the mitzvah element.
Ah, good. That's the panavit shirav's teretz. We'll have to get to that, I thought, this week, but again, perhaps next week. Now, the question is, what do you need shlichus to be in violation? Is it your only violation with shlichus? What happens if you go to a haircut and you tell the barber, and then you move your head this way and you move your head this way, and you move, the guy says, move your hand to the left, and I move my hand to the left, and by moving my hand to the left, it makes the cut go smoother. Is that considered a siyua that's enough to be mechayev me on my own without shlichus?
It is by the.
By haircutting, it is, right? So let's see the Mishnah Melech. See, I have nowhere to go today, so I have a whole morning, right? So like the Mishnah Melech. My son doesn't finish school till 2 o'clock. I'm good till 2 o'clock. Okay, so let's see. And I definitely don't want to go home because my daughters are home. So here's a good place to stay. Zog the Mishnah Melech. Let's just make aschal on this idea. So the Mishnah Melech answers, when the niktsas injects kavana into the equation, that's enough to be mechayiv him. So let's go back to our Gemara. The Gemara wanted to know why I need a pasuk to permit cutting off a tzaraas. It's ain't a mischavin. Says the Gemara, it's not because the recipient of the mila had intention. That's the way the Rashi learned the Gemara. The recipient of the Mila had intention. Either Moyle didn't have intention. Doesn't matter. As long as the recipient had intention, the Niktsatz, his intention makes it awesome. There's another way you could have learned the Gemara, which we'll see Blinadim more next week, that the guy gave himself a Mila, and he intended to cut off his Tzaras. That would have been a much more simple way of learning the Gemara. That's the easy way to learn the Gemara, right? Now, why couldn't you learn that in the Gemara? What's the words of the Gemara? The Gemara says, Ba'omar. He said that to cut off his beheris he intended. So I guess he said to who? So Rashi said he said it to the Moyle. So here you can say he said it to himself. Because how else am I going to know his kavana? The guy goes into a back room, he's a Moyle, he's a surgeon. He cuts off his mila. Do I know what his intention was? I knew he was mechavan l'taharas, I have no idea. So Zakti Mar Ba'omar, he told us.
Why does it matter whether I knew it or not?
But how are we going to be mechavan? I'm...
We're not
Mechayim, right? But the point
he
is,
knows what he was thinking,
right? But how do you know that? There's, again, the Gemara's answer is, I need the pasuk in the case of this, but no one ever knows this case ever existed. So there is a mahalach in the Meiri. Rashi clearly is not learning that. We have so far two mahalachim in the Gemara. What's the Gemara's answer where the guy says, "I want to cut off"? Either he does it to himself, so that's simple. He's mischaven. He's the kaitzis. He's the niktsas. That's simple. Or Rashi's version is no, that the niktsas says, "I want my tzaras cut off." L'shem tahara, lav davka. The kaitzis thought that. Zok the Mishnah Lamelech and Afal Pikein. The Niktsas is in a violation because as long as one of the two parties had Kavano, one of the two parties will be in violation. We'll see Blinadim more next week at the Mishnah Lamelech suggests no, we'll be al Shlichus. And then we get into the problem of Ein Shlichus Aveira, that whole.